This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Five-hour energy. Go. When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative. Gets the people going.
The Greg Hill Morning Show. Starring.
I'm here for it, bro.
I'm sure Greg Hill does a mediocre job.
What is wrong with a man who loves a dog?
Greg Hill.
Well, it was weird when she said she wanted a shrimp and you put them down your pants.
Oh, my God.
It was a weird thing to do at 22 Bowens. It was inappropriate.
They did look like a happily married couple, though.
They did.
Featuring the original spark of the Pats dynasty.
All right, what up, adults?
Yes, queen.
I did not know that.
Wiggy.
Yeah, my mother used to get the things that stick on the window, and so, like, people were walking by, they could see, like, the turkeys. And can you say pilgrims today, or is that canceled?
Okay. You're fine with that.
Joined by the relationship alpha.
Here's seismologist that turns my tune.
Courtney Cox.
The elbow patches is chef's kiss.
The fabric I don't know what you call that. Christmas
tartan.
Brick. Wait, is that the actual name of it, Courtney?
Tartan, yeah.
Of course she knows that.
I learned a new word today.
Tartan.
And accompanied by
the real Slim Shiny. Please.
I'm standing up.
Two big brains behind the glass.
Well, get past that.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
Curtis and Shime.
Put the pineapple sugar juice on your hand?
Say it again.
Pineapple sugar juice.
What?
Oh, yeah. Like,
the honey baked ham.
Yeah, like,
I don't
you,
like
you
that.
Damn right.
Now.
It's sweet, sweet taste of victory.
And I am 100% passive judgment.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is a godforsaken bunch of... You guys, I've never heard of this name in my life.
On Boston Sports Original.
The vibes are immaculate right now.
You're just all about a good time, a good vibe. That you're a vibe curator.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill! Yeah. Greg Hill!
Yeah.
Greg Hill!
Show!
All right.
Good morning.
What up? What up? How you doing, Wiggy?
Ah, man, I'm loving life. I ain't complaining.
One of us is playing hurt this morning, and I apparently need to speak louder for Curtis. Curtis, hello.
I have 617-779-7937. If you've ever popped an eardrum,
oh
no,
that sounds painful.
Yeah, James has a drum set, and then he decided to use my left ear as one.
Oh. With the actual drumstick?
No, we were at my gym, lovely place. If they want to give a discount, be great.
Gym flex bright and early this morning.
No, my gym is a gym for, it's nothing about me. I sit and watch James and then I get abused.
I thought you were saying my gym, like right. The one you go to. And I was kind of thinking that too,
workout.
Like, oh, Curtis, cool.
Yes. No. My gym, it's the opposite of Equinox. And Anyway, he was waving his hands, and he whacked unintentionally my left ear, cupped it, and it was like this explosion in my head.
Oh, did you seek medical attention?
I did. Coach Sarah and Coach Haley were very helpful. Thank you.
Oh, boy. All right.
Unfortunately, you may not be the only one playing hurt. I hate to do this. It does look like your shirt's on inside out this morning.
Me?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, that could be the style, though.
I don't think so.
Isn't that just the thermal style?
No. I get dressed in the dark, so
all you gotta do is you don't even know. All you gotta do is turn around, and we'll see if this.
Yeah, is there a tag?
Yeah.
Greg.
Maybe we want to get you a little nightlight.
How embarrassing!
I mean, it can go as long as nobody sees the back.
There must be a tag on the side as well.
Every clothing item I own has dog hair on it anyway, thanks to Bullet. So I'm not that concerned.
It's true
but
love.
Maybe I will change during the break. I appreciate the update on that.
I'm sorry, very sorry.
Thank you so much. Yep. And listen, what he is wearing is the least of the concern this morning for Jim Montgomery, the former head coach of the Boston Bruins, who was unceremoniously fired by the Bruins yesterday.
Curtis, spot on.
Yeah.
Well,
Keefe, really. I mean,
yeah. I mean, scoop of the century for Rich Keefe, and I got to tell you, I understand why. I think if you're Don Sweeney and Cam Neely, it's the only move that you can make. I don't know what else you were going to do. Wiggy was talking yesterday on this show about trading David Pasternak, and you're not going to do that midseason. You're not. You don't have some incredible prospect that is playing in Providence that you can bring up and try to shake things up. There's no blockbuster deal that you're going to do. So I guess it's the only thing that they felt like they could do. But it is this roster. And not only is this roster not as great as we may have thought it was, but also it seems like it's guys who want an absolute say in who their coach is. Mm. And so
But that's like my thing right now is how many more wins is Joe Sacco going to get you? No offense to him, but it just seems like these guys aren't gelling, aren't on the same page. And I never once heard anybody say a bad word about Jim Montgomery. Like, there was something with the Cassidy thing. You could see kind of the writing on the wall with guys not really buying into his message or never sticking up for him. That was different than the Jim Montgomery thing. I just don't see what switching the head coach is going to do this season. This season must be a wash for them.
Yeah, I mean, unless sometimes this happens.
The morale is something.
No, but
it happens it happens more so in hockey, I think, than other sports where you make a change and guys go out and feel freer, play differently. I mean, I don't know.
It happens in football all the time. There's like a legitimate new coach bump every time a head coach gets fired. I mean, look at the Rizzler. He's 2-0 since he took over in New Orleans.
I just don't see it happening with this group. And I think people were really trying to push a narrative that it was Jim Montgomery started fighting with the players. Like, there was a video going around of he and Marchand yelling at each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And they weren't really yelling at each other.
No,
people were saying, oh, Marchand was pointing at his C.
He was.
No, he was not.
I think he was.
No,
it happened so fast, I couldn't
tell. He was moving his shoulder pad. There's no way that he was, like, pounding on his C.
I think he was.
It was a quick pound. It was like a quick, you didn't know what it was.
I think he was.
Yeah, I'm with you, Courtney.
So.
That one I need a little bit more context.
That was cap.
Okay, so let me ask the room this question. We all praise Patrice Bergeron, right? He's St. Patrice.
Yes.
He was here, and he allowed the organization to fire Cassidy and bring in bring in Monty, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's a mistake. Now we all love Marchand, right? The dirty guy who's learned to play well, the captain, he gets in the dirty areas, all that. At the bare minimum, he did nothing to stop the organization from changing coaches again.
Correct.
And this is who this organization is. Tim Thomas is the exception to the rule. Without him, they never win crap. The whole organization being butthurt about Swayman getting top dollar, you absolute losers. You pathetic losers. Stop looking for reasons why you're losing and change.
Who was mad that he got paid?
Have you not seen the reporting, Fluto Shinzawa, that the team was miffed that Swayman even discussed this, that he had lost some of the guys.
Oh, yeah, his teammates?
Yes.
Oh, wow, let's see this.
You know, and we talked about it at the time. Brad Marchand essentially alluded to that when he said that we, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but we generally, we're the Boston Bruins. We don't talk about contract stuff publicly. I'm never going to talk about my contract stuff publicly. Jim Montgomery, in fact, on Monday night mentioned Jeremy Swayman and the holdout and talked about how it's never good to miss training camp.
And, Mitch just shared something. So ESPN.com yesterday, right before the news broke, did a three-year power rankings of organizations heading into the next three seasons in the National Hockey League. Good news, John Henry's Penguins, 32nd. But the Bruins, 31st. Right. And look at prospects. What's the NHL rank? I think there's 32 teams.
Correct.
So they are dead last. And yet Don Sweeney fires another coach. Well, and he has nobody coming up the pipeline. And these loser players led by loser Marchand are butthurt that Swayman got top dollar and that Meanie Monty, who we brought in to kiss our ass after we got Cassidy fired, had the audacity to be honest about how bad
we're
playing.
So you think this was a player thing and not a front office thing?
I think it's both. I think looking back at things that happened, like, for instance, sitting David Pastrnak is something that Curtis is right. Those guys get butthurt over it.
And, wait a second. And, aren't these hockey guys, aren't they built differently?
You would hope they are.
Well, I mean, that's what everybody tells me when we have arguments. Yeah, they're not basketball players. They're not football players. They're
just
built different.
That's just one of your favorite callers.
I think a lot of people say that. Yeah. Well, and that guy, they're like every other athlete, you know?
Well,
but don't we need to look at, like, Sweeney? He set this precedent when they fired Bruce Cassidy that the players can say and get whatever they want.
He chose Jake DeBrusk over Bruce Cassidy.
And Jake DeBrusk doesn't even play here anymore.
How did that work?
It worked horribly. Cassidy goes and wins a cup right away. Like, you set the precedent that the players get what they want, that they're little spoiled kids that get whatever they want. And now your hands were tied.
Right.
Because once again, players are upset with their coach. You can't move on from the players, so you move on from the coach. When in reality, you need an entire exorcism at this point.
You can't bring that up, though. Don't even utter the words out. Fire Cam Neely. That will shake the earth to its core. We love Cam as a player. I told you, he's at the Danny Ainge point. Like, they've been here long enough. They've had good talent. They've had a good core, and they got one chip to show for.
Wick said,
everybody loves Danny, but I have to move on from Danny.
Yeah, Wick did do that, and that took some balls.
Right.
Listen, that's the problem when you hire a player, a former player on your team of much renown.
Yep.
It is going to be difficult to part ways with that person. And so it's making me very nervous to even discuss this on this radio show. I feel like my lunch that Cam Neely owes me will never happen. Never.
But when do you get to the point?
Sounds like my dinner at Moo.
But Craig, true. Let me tell you something.
It appears to those who follow me on Instagram that you're eating enough here in the station
after the show
anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know that you need a dinner at Moo.
Yeah, I want to try a couple meatballs and I'm getting accosted. Food narc.
But Craig, when do you get to the point to
was Shine pointing
question?
At his Awaken 180 patch?
I said, when do you get to the point to ask that question? Is it time to do something in front office? I mean, we did it with Bill Belichick.
All kidding aside, it is the time to ask that question now. I just don't think that Charlie Jacobs or the chairman are up for making those moves when it comes to Cam Neely and Don Sweeney.
Because it was a cop-out. Them firing Jim Montgomery is a cop-out where they say that was the issue and now we're going to, you know, that was the fix that we needed, just like they did with Cassidy. I thought that the Cassidy move was a good one. Clearly it wasn't. Now the Jim Montgomery move, I don't see any difference happening this season or in the near future.
In their tenure, you have fired a coach that won the Stanley Cup in Claude Julien.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A coach that went on to win the Stanley Cup the season after you fired him in Bruce Cassidy.
And took you to a cup.
And in the case of Jim Montgomery, a coach who had your team perform at the highest level possible with the best regular season ever in the NHL. So I maybe they go on some kind of incredible 10-0 run here.
But won't that make you change? Won't that even enrage you further that these losers were intentionally not giving their full effort just to get a guy fired, waiting for Sacco to take over? Like, no matter what happens, this organization from Sweeney, no accountability, let's just fire the coach. The players begging Sweeney to fire the coach when they're not playing well. The whole thing needs to get like the ayahuasca redo that Aaron Rodgers. Well,
I stage out the whole building. That's why Kyrie Irving, Curtis,
I said they're just like regular. They're like any other athlete in any other professional sport. If they don't like the coach, or if they don't, if the head guy doesn't like the coach or the superstar or the team around them, they'll complain. They might not give their best effort at times. That's the nature of the beast when you don't like somebody who you feel like is calling the shots.
You bring up the ayahuasca Aaron Rodgers thing. That reminds me that, Curtis, it could always be worse. And the athletic story this morning that Woody Johnson wanted to sit Aaron Rodgers during this season.
After week four.
Is extraordinary. Oh, wow. It really is extraordinary.
As someone who was born on third base, Woody Johnson gives us all a bad name because he did nothing other than inherit Johnson & Johnson, and now he's firing the GM who the Patriots should hire today. Look at his drafts. Yeah. Because there's a chance he may get to be the ambassador to the UK again and have to relinquish his role, so he's forcing his brother to swallow all of these decisions before he heads to the UK for Trump.
And that means Rodgers is getting traded.
Well,
when the owner says, hey, I wanted to sit this guy after week four, you think that's going to sit well with Aaron Rodgers?
I think Aaron Rodgers is actually trying to trade Woody Johnson right now and probably will have some success doing it. So, all right, we have a lot to get to. We will be joined today on a rare Wednesday appearance by Mike Milbury at 8:20. So we will talk about the move that the Boston Bruins made with Mike Milbury coming up at 8:20 on this morning's show. It is also a Celtics Wednesday, and a great win for the Boston Celtics last night, snapping that 15-0 win streak that mm-hmm. the Cleveland Cavaliers had going on.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk to Mego about that game and about the Celtics coming up at 9 on this morning's show. Before that, though, we will get to our leads coming up in about 10 minutes or so at 6:25. And then they said it at 7. That's a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And we will discuss what Tuukka Rask said about the irresponsible speculation on this show about Patrice Bergeron as the next head coach of the Boston Bruins.
Jeez, that was your lead, too. I know.
He came right at me, Tuukka. I mean, I don't know.
But the good news, though?
Yeah, what?
Clearly, he listens to the program.
That is true, yes.
Every single day.
Yes, we've gained another listener in the form of Tuukka Rask. So we'll get to that at 7. The news with Courtney coming up at 7:45. And speaking of Courtney, here she is with what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. I hope Tuukka was listening the day that I put Wiggy in a body bag about him coming at Tuukka and his family. That would have been
exciting. I wasn't really coming at his family.
Feisty Wednesday. Love it.
Yeah, so what you're doing is capping right now. I came
she
at...
She did body bag you.
No. Yeah. We're not...
You had...
She lied. I didn't go at Tuukka's family. I went at Tuukka.
What you did there was much different than that reporter that got shoved in the basketball locker.
I said nothing about his daughter. There's a difference to that. See, that's cap. When you say you came after somebody's family, that means you talked about that person's daughter or...
I think you called him soft for stepping away.
Him?
Yeah.
Yeah, but not his family. Okay. That's a lie.
You're
like the media. You're clearly lying.
Okay.
There's no defending her, Curtis. What she's doing is a lie.
I'm not defending her. I'm saying
sounds like you're getting ready to.
No, I'm getting ready to just say that she's...
Puckered those lips up.
Y'all be capping too much. I was just going to say, Wiggy, that this is brilliant by Courtney.
No, it ain't brilliant.
Because she knows he was listening to the leads, which means he's likely listening right now.
No, they brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah. What it is a bold-faced
line. I stand for a guy who's done so much for our city, and so I clearly don't.
I want to make sure. I want to make sure this is the road we're going down.
Okay. Just want
to. I want to make sure. Because if it is, hey, listen, no one's off limits now.
Okay.
I just want to make 100% sure. I want to make 100% sure that if this is the road we're going down, I now know that I have to stoop a little bit lower when we get into a certain type of situation.
Okay.
No.
Wiggy, they go low, you go high.
Hell no. I go the opposite of Obama.
I can take it.
All right.
I can take it from my good friend, Jermaine Wiggins.
No.
And let the record show, I agree with Wiggy that Tuca was soft in those moments.
Yeah, Tuca. But we never talked about his family.
I never said you talked about the family.
I said you
brought up the family when trying to come at Tuca.
No, I didn't bring up the family.
Yeah, you did.
No. See? Okay. There we go.
We'll pull the find the audio, Sean.
Yeah, I don't know if I was here for that.
You weren't, but
Sean,
find
don't
it.
Worry about it, Sean.
Oh, you don't want it coming up.
No, it's not matter to me.
Anyway, we already said it, but the Bruins have fired head coach Jim Montgomery. Don Sweeney announced yesterday that the team has relieved Montgomery of his duties as head coach. Associate coach Joe Sacco will assume interim head coaching duties. The Bruins released a thank you to the coach this week.
I'm glad you're bringing this up.
Yeah.
So they put this up after the statement about firing him?
Yes.
This is absolute weak sauce.
Yeah, if you're not watching.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Jim. We wish you and your family all the best moving forward.
Maybe just send that as a text.
I mean, give me my vacation days owed in the form of a check and leave me alone. That would be my answer if I were Jim Montgomery. Don't tweet about me. Thank you, Jim.
It's bizarre.
Like, you just scapegoated me out the door.
Right.
And on behalf of the players, and I don't need a tweet or an X post that thanks me.
Yeah. The guys will have Utah in town tomorrow night at 7. And the Celtics kill the Cavs' perfect record in their NBA Cup matchup last night. 120-117, the final from the TD Garden. The guys dominated the first half. And while they did let them in a bit in the third, they were able to seal the deal. Joe Mazzulla talked about how they were able to respond to that third quarter push.
Yeah, I mean, we just kept a level of poise about us. We were able to tighten up some of the stuff in the fourth quarter that we gave up in the third quarter, and we just showed a level of physicality that we can get to on both ends of the floor. I thought the guys did a great job. I thought we were physical the entire game, which I care more about throughout the regular season is our physicality, our toughness. The details are the second most important thing, and we slipped a little bit of that in the third, but in the fourth we picked up both of those things. But I thought we were extremely physical defensively, and I thought we were very poised and intentional on the offensive end, and I thought we made good reads.
It was a really good game last night.
Very good.
Your boy Pete Pritch, big shot.
Pete Pritch, huge three there. In the fourth quarter. He also he won the jump. Al Horford all night long.
Yeah.
Al Horford, he had those back to back blocks last night in that fourth quarter. Unbelievable game.
He's like a head above everybody else when he jumps. Mm-hmm. Like he is.
Tatum was money, as usual.
Your guy led the team with 33 points, 7 assists, and 12 rebounds, Wiggy. The Seas are off now till Friday for another NBA Cup game, this one against the Wizards on the road. And some NFL news that Greg brought up, another firing in New York as GM for the Jets, Joe Douglas, has been fired. I just wonder if that puts people's antennas up for one Bill Belichick.
Okay.
Shaw's and Star Market is having a special sale on frozen turkey. Pick up a Signature Farms or Shady Brook Farms Grade A frozen turkey for only 47 cents a pound. That's limited to one per customer, minimum $25 purchase required. Happy Thanksgiving from Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
One of our best first segments in a while. 37 degrees, clear skies, afternoon high, in the mid-50s.
Coming up at 8:20, our guy Mike Milbury on the Bruins' decision to fire Jim Montgomery. We will get to They Said It maybe at 7:20. I got to get to the great Maria from Watertown and her thoughts on the Bruins this morning. Hello, Maria.
Good morning. Hey, I know, Greg, you've mentioned in the past that Don Sweeney sometimes listens to this show.
He used to. I don't know if he still does or not, but he used to, yes.
All right, well, let's see. Maybe you can send him the tape, because these are the questions I want to ask him. Is it Jim Montgomery's fault that David Pastrnak had zero shots on goal in the game against Columbus the other night? Is it Jim Montgomery's fault that Nikita Zadorov, the stiff that he is, doesn't know the difference between when he's playing a shift with a man up or a man down? Is it Jim Montgomery's fault that every time Pavel Zacha seems to get the stick on his puck, he shoots high or wide? This is typical weasel Boston Bruins behavior on the part of management. They set Jim Montgomery up to fail from the very beginning, because, Mr. Sweeney, if you had faith in the roster that you had constructed for this season, you would have extended Jim Montgomery either in the offseason or when the season started. But no, what do? In an effort to save your own skins, you and your BFF, Cam Neely, you let this guy hang in the wind, because you must have suspected that this roster wasn't at the standard to which you thought you had built it. Now, were there coaching mistakes? Likely, yes. You can't be at the bottom of all NHL statistics and not accept some of the responsibility as a coach. But what I'm saying to management and players right now, you all have a target on your back. You all better have a cup of shut the you-know-what up and start playing hockey, because now this group of players, a lot of them the same group of core players, have cost three very good winning coaches their job. And there's nothing that I can't stand any more than management and ownership capitulating to players who are paid extremely well to do a job. Do your jobs. Shut up and play.
Maria, I think you make a brilliant argument and great call. My only question would be, don't you now know who all these players are? Like, they're people, when the going gets tough, they point the finger. So in what way, like, in my mind, you just need to gut the whole thing and restart. Like, Marchand, Pasta, all these guys, like, they're clearly not people that take accountability. They're just not.
And it's so disappointing, because that's not what I maybe I had a twisted view what the culture of this team was. The fact that they are not able to handle any kind of adversity or criticism. You're right, Curtis. This is not the DNA that I want for my hockey team, or, you know, even worse, an original six hockey team. What are we doing here?
Maria, great call.
Always,
because you got to ask, is it what changed from what was it 2 years ago, where they were the best team in the regular season with a lot, you know, the majority of the roster being the same roster from them then to now? What changed?
You lost Patrice Bergeron.
Okay, is that enough of it? Like, is that a significant change where your team falls off the cliff?
Well, you lost Patrice Bergeron, who got your coach fired that won a cup with the Vegas Knights.
Right. So
it's the facts. I mean,
it is. No,
but I'm agreeing with you, Curtis.
Like, Curtis, you're spot on. Like, I've defended Patrice Bergeron on this show a lot. I've defended Brad Marchand. I think that you got to look at those guys, and you're spot on when you say they don't want to put any of this on themselves. They always want to blame it on somebody else.
And at the core of your beef with the Patriots and Mayo and all of that,
yeah,
I think you are right that the players that got Belichick fired are in the same boat.
Yep.
Like, I'm not saying they'd be much different. Maybe they'd win a game or two. That's not the point. It's that if you're continually trying to change those around you instead of changing yourself, you're never going to be successful. And that's what I feel like the Bruins have fallen into, where it's like, well, I know Sweeney's sackless. He'll just fire the coach and rub my back. And that's what it's been for basically a decade.
They put themselves in a horrible position, though, if they need to do what you're talking about and blow it all up. Like, there's really no talent in the system whatsoever.
Oh, there's talent.
None.
But
there is a talented piece out there, or maybe even two.
You mean talent that you can go get for David Pastrnak?
That, yeah. And Mashin.
But you do you have no talent in the system.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any money, and the core of the players on this team don't seem to be the ones who really want to show up and win it. I you know, you bring up David Pastrnak, unbelievably skilled player, but it's like,
you don't think somebody else would want him?
He doesn't show up in the playoffs. Yeah, mm-hmm. Somebody else will probably want him. Yes.
Right, but that's how I asked this yesterday.
Charlie McAvoy is just not, he's not a, I don't know that he's a guy you can build your hockey team around. He's been less than satisfying. And Brad Marchand, we talked about it yesterday. I'm going to give him something when it comes to how long he's been in the league, how old he is. But this is probably it too for him.
How this season is unfolding and now the firing of Montgomery, like, I think that he calls it a career after this season.
See, I don't think so. I think he's opposite of Berge, where he wouldn't mind going to play for somebody else to contending. He already said, they asked about his contract and he kind of didn't be like, all right, this is it. He was like, you know, we'll talk when we get to that point about, you know, potentially doing an extension. But that's why I asked yesterday, when you look at this core, especially through the middle, your forward being Pasta, your defense being McAvoy, and your goalie being Swayman, is this core, those guys, the ones you want to build around? Or are you at the point where it is like nuclear and you have to blow it up and you're saying, okay, what can we get for a guy like Pasta? What can we get for a guy like Marchand? What can we get for a guy like McAvoy?
There's just, you would think Marchand would be it, but there's not a veteran, like a legit veteran presence around that locker room to get guys in line. Like, and
you think about a guy like Thordy, who obviously wasn't talented like these guys. But
that's what he did.
Right.
And those guys would tell you over and over, it takes a lot for somebody like Sean Thornton, who is not a goal scorer, to mm-hmm. be able to hold guys accountable. He held guys accountable. I think you're going to laugh at me, but Don Sweeney, I think when you look at the mistakes he made, not re-signing Pat Maroon for pennies, like I think Chicago's paying him $1.3 million is a mistake. Like, why not give the guy a flyer? Like, he came here hurt last season and gave you a little bit. Like, or names anybody else. Like, somebody in there who's going to be in that locker room and tell those guys that this is not the way the big bad Boston Bruins have been.
But they're not the big bad Boston Bruins.
They're the big bitchy Bruins.
That's a good one. They're completely a whole new, the players are new. Their mindsets are new. It's like when we talk about Ty and I, we talk about how Willie policed the locker room. Like, those guys don't exist. A lot of them don't exist no more in this day and age. People respected Sean Thornton because there were other players in that locker room, whether it was Big Z, whether it was Krejci, Bergeron, you know, there's so many guys you could think about where, like, okay, we respect what Sean Thornton's saying. So then the younger players looked up to him. Now, do you think these guys would respect a guy like Thornton? Or they're like, listen,
I think they all respected Bergeron and everything we heard.
But Bergeron is, like Greg is saying, is a completely different animal.
But he kept them all in line.
Bergeron was like them.
No, but Montgomery used to say that he didn't even have to coach because Bergeron kept them all in line.
Yeah, but that's I think he was saying that more like his knowledge of the game or whatever. I don't know.
He's not scary like a Sean Thornton. Yeah. Like, I get that.
Didn't he get Cassidy fired?
Yes.
So isn't he more like the new generation than he would the old generation?
Yeah. And Greg, and this is from Flutus and Zawa yesterday, and I think it was the biggest reporting because what Sweeney did and has done is accumulate talent instead of building a team. And if the roster, Fluto Schinzau in The Athletic said, what's done is done. Swayman's priority is to find his confidence, clean up his game, and prove to his teammates that he was right to play hardball. If Swayman continues to take backward steps, he will not have many friends left in the dressing room. So if these guys were really pissed that Swayman was going for the last dollar, Like, what is the calculus in there? Who cares? You've already got your contract.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Like, if you're that pathetic that you don't want your team to have the best goalie possible, and Swayman, who is negotiating and setting a market that other NHL players will benefit from, his own teammates are mad?
Yeah, that's the brotherhood.
Camp?
You never go against the brotherhood when it comes to money.
This is Andrew from Connecticut. Hello, Andrew.
How's it going? What's up? Just answering Whitney's question, like what changed between the good season and now? That playoff series, what changed? They blew a 3-0 lead to Florida. I was calling for, after throwing that season away, everyone should have been fired, because where do you go from there?
Hmm.
So, like, Don Sweeney, he should have been let go a long time ago. I'm a big Bruins fan, and I hate the culture, because when you look at the numbers, the one-and-done stuff, the, you know, getting kicked out of the playoffs, it's, I just feel bad. When you look at Montgomery's record, no one who has won that much should be fired.
Well, there were some people who wanted Don Sweeney fired after the 2015 draft. So,
he's been on
that was a nightmare.
That conversation has been ongoing in some circles.
But he's always been able to slide, you know. And Nelly, I guess Nelly slides because of his performance. And then, you know, Nelly's more like, we got some new meatballs we're putting on the menu. He's the menu guy.
Who says no to new meatballs?
Right. When you
certainly not Shime.
I do love a good meatball.
Honestly, you needed a second plate for all that yesterday.
All right, big guy, relax. Mister, I keep going over every Friday. I get like 7 bagels.
All right. It could not fit on
I love
plate.
The rivalry.
It could not fit on one plate.
And to Greg's, on Greg's side, he takes half a bagel.
I do take half
a bagel. So at a time.
Right. Seven times.
So you're right. Sorry, he goes over 14 times a show.
7 times half a bagel. Yeah.
In total, it tends to be a bagel and a half.
Yeah. I'm just
don't forget all the cream cheese.
I'm just confused about why you go out of your way not to eat it when the actual show is going on.
Because the timing-wise, doesn't work for me, Greg.
It does.
It does.
You look great.
Thank you.
You look great. But that was the most shocking thing to me when Greg posted it, because I said that food was out there for a bit. We were all enjoying it, talking about timeout market, giving them a good plug.
Right. Yeah.
And you wait till all of us are gone?
Yeah. Well, he wants to sit down and enjoy it.
Correction. He waited till he thought I was gone.
Yeah. Right.
I knew you were still here. I literally recorded sponsored.
I was the last one here, and you and I were doing some production, and I said, all right, I'm out of here. See you later. 5 minutes later, I walked down, and he's having an orgy of Italian food.
Because, see, that's a full plate.
Orgy of Italian that's full. Food.
Yeah. He can't do that in, like, a quick 2-3 minute break where he can
just... Yeah, I also have to press buttons back here.
You really covered all the bases, too. Yeah. That wasn't just a meatball. I mean...
I wanted a little bit of everything. I wanted that
sandwich. Courtney, what do they call it at Olive Garden? Like, the tour of Italy or
something?
Yes,
that's what he has.
I legit had, like, a couple of tortellinis. Two meatballs, a tiny piece of the chicken.
That's a double.
And a sandwich.
A little quarter of the sandwich.
Try it. That's a double elbows on the table meal. You can't, you know.
It's not.
Yeah, that's Thanksgiving plate.
You got to enjoy
God.
That.
Here
one.
We go.
I mean, Sean, just be honest. I like to enjoy. Just say, hey,
I wanted to try everything.
I wanted to enjoy.
The only thing I didn't try was the bolognese one.
I have a question for the room. I don't know what makes Greg happier, a great weekly or Shime eating.
How do we do in the latest weekly?
I just did I think it was a 17-9. I don't know if we've ever done that before.
That's a great number.
Yeah, I mean, just a weekly.
How do we what position did we take when it comes to adults, all men and women 25 to 54? Do you know?
That was won by a wide margin.
Oh, that was number 1?
Yeah, it was like a 13 something.
Oh jeez, number 1.
Adults.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
We love adults.
Hello, adults. All right.
And meatballs.
We are going to finally get to our leads coming up next. Shime, absolute banger from Fleetwood Mac. Mike Milbury coming up at 8:20 this morning with his thoughts on the Bruins making the decision to fire Jim Montgomery. But right now, we have leads finally for you this morning. Hello, Shime.
Hey, Greg. Good morning. So yesterday, Jim Montgomery was fired as head coach of the Boston Bruins. Just to recap real quick. So just over 3 years ago now, Don Sweeney fired Bruce Cassidy, who had a 67% win percentage here.
Jack Adams winner.
With the Boston Bruins, that's correct. He then fires Jim Montgomery, who just won a casual 71.5% of his regular season games as head coach.
Jack Adams winner.
Of the NHL, of the Bruins in 184 games. And then Emily Kaplan had this yesterday after the firing. Bruins management was hesitant to fire Jim Montgomery, not wanting to let the players off the hook for a poor start. What? How does that doesn't make any sense, because no. If that was the case, you would have done something about the players. You have the opportunity as the GM. It's this cool thing that you can do. You can call other teams and be like, hey, this guy's for sale. How much you willing to pay me? It's really cool. It's just the whole thing. It's called trading. Mm. Anyone that's ever been in a fantasy league or played Madden knows how to do it. Like, just give somebody a call. It's really not that hard. And it's just, it becomes infuriating to me that Don Sweeney has now been here longer than Peter Chiarelli was. Chiarelli won you a cup, got you to another cup, and got fired after 9 years. Sweeney's been here 10 years now. He's gotten to a cup, and that's it. And they lost, and the loss wasn't his fault to St. Louis, but you still lost, and you only got there once, and yet he is still here somehow firing coaches who win 70% of their games. Someone make it make sense.
Well, it makes sense because it's easier. One leaves blood on your hands or dirt, but the other one doesn't really. So trading guys is a little bit more of dirt on the hands, blood on your hands, and like, oh, why would you get rid of that guy? You know, he's such a great player. Then he goes here and he's successful. Where if you fire a guy, it's always easier for you as the GM to be like, well, you know, we need a change of scenery. We need to switch things up.
But you can't do that over and over and over again and not get some sort of result from it.
But which one are you more likely to get fired for yourself? Firing a coach or maybe having the guts to trade away one of your top best players.
Yeah, you're probably right about that here anyway.
Right.
The latter. All right, Chime, great lead. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning. So, very simply, I believe that the Patriots are not going to consistently spend at the top of the market in free agency. Just who Robert Kraft and Jonathan are. So, goodbye, Elliott Wolf. You know, take a nice weekend at the Renaissance at Patriot Place. Go see Showcase Cinemas. Lovely. I was there with Myrna. Great popcorn. Bring in Joe Douglas from the Jets, who is a great drafter. And everybody can bring up 2020 when they took Zach Wilson. I thought Coward yesterday made a good point. It's an anomaly. That was a draft during COVID. People weren't scouting. Everybody that was drafted that was a quarterback in the first round largely sucks. So who cares? I view the bulk, the receivers that he's gotten outside of the top 10, the tackles, the defensive ends, some of the studs that this team could really use. I think he's young. He will absolutely come in with his ass on fire, just like he had the meatball plate, and he'll be ready to go and help this team get to the next level. I don't trust Elliott Wolf to be the guy that leads this draft room, not just because of last year, but because last year was very similar to the years prior, which leads him to believe he had an outsized role in the Belichick draft rooms himself.
So you blame, because he was involved with Bill in previous drafts, you're blaming him, a partial blame on him for some of those drafting errors made by the New England Patriots.
Tyquan Thornton and Jalen Polk have a lot of similarities, and they were drafted by a front office that included Elliott Wolf. I'm sure he's a nice guy, whatever. Joe Douglas, to me, is a great candidate to come in and cure the draft room.
Fascinated by what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, he's clearly, I don't think either side there wants to be associated with the other going forward. Like, so is he going to hang him up?
No, they're going to have to trade him.
What team is going to want him?
I don't know where he's going to go, but you're just not going to cut him and leave all that money on the table.
Oh, Shime, are you coming on my side?
I think he might be done. Like, I think this might be.
He's already said
sayonara.
He ain't done.
He said maybe.
Well, Wiggy, he may say that, but what's he going to do? Go play for the Panthers? Yeah, have fun going to, like, nowhere.
You think Aaron Rodgers is going to leave $50 million on the table?
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Well, they can cut him, and they don't have a huge dead cap hit.
No, but he's guaranteed $75 million.
That's not by the Jets, though.
But that means he's going to play somewhere. He's not going to lose $75 million.
Yeah, he signed.
He gets the money anyway.
Knowing full well that the owner wanted him benched after week four. Do you think he's going to show up and play for that owner next season?
No.
But he's not leaving that money. He signed that new extension with the Jets where they guaranteed him $75 million. He's not leaving that money on the table. He just did that extension.
So I don't think it's ever happened, but maybe he's just going to get Woody Johnson fired. Like, maybe he's just going to force Woody to sell the team. I mean,
he's
gotten Jets, everybody else fired that's around him. So
if the Jets cut him after this year, they pay him there's a cap hit of like $23 million next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And then there's void years on the end of the contract, which he gets no matter what anyways.
Right, right. But my point is that they're going to try to. You just don't cut a guy. You're going to try your best to trade him first, and then if they don't have no suitors, and then they'll cut him.
So I'm sorry. Those were a lot of numbers. How much of the 75 would be left on the table if he were to walk away?
Oh, he signed a three-year $112 million with 75 guaranteed. So basically, he has 2 years left on that deal.
No, he'll have 1 year left.
1 year left on that deal. Excuse me. So 1 year left on that deal.
Wow.
So
it's wild.
Yeah.
All right. We got to take a break. We will get to the rest of today's leads next. And then they said it. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports coming up at 7:20. And we will certainly talk about what Tuukka Rask said about the irresponsible speculation that occurred on this radio show with regard to Patrice Bergeron at 7:20.